As many of you know, one of the aspects of our building expansion projects is that we were required by the city of Louisville to have a plan to deal with the prairie dog population on our property before construction begins. City of Lafayette, sorry. Over the past 12 days, as many prairie dogs as possible were trapped and donated to the Black-Footed Ferret Conservation Project in Fort Collins. Yesterday, the remaining population on the property was exterminated. And this community held a vigil to witness the process, to really face the reality of our decision, and to honor the feelings and the reactions that arise inside of us when we do so. This was a task of seeing the extermination for what it was, for naming it as such, and for seeing clearly how it affects us. As words from Victoria Safford reminded us earlier, the task is not to patch things up, smooth things over, reach a compromise, or sweep mistakes and uneasy memories under the rug. The task is not to feel better. The task is ownership. The goal is truth for its own redemptive sake. For me, this is what vision is about, seeing things as they are, seeing the truth and experiencing its redemptive and liberatory power. This is why Unitarian Universalists often invoke the light of truth in chalice lightings, as this fellowship does. Seeking this truth, for me, is a spiritual task, and I find it to be at the root of many spiritual practices. Basic mindfulness meditation, like what we practiced earlier, is all about being present to the moment, seeing what's in front of you, and ideally, nothing else. You may also know that the first part of the Eightfold Path of Buddhism is right view, or right seeing. Contemplative prayer in other traditions often seeks the same aims, and even petitionary prayer to a deity often takes the form of seeking insight, hoping to be able to see a particular situation with God's point of view, rather than our own narrow, biased viewpoint. The idea is to tune down the influences of our own personal biases, our own emotions and reactions and viewpoints, so that we can see more clearly. This is much more easily said than done. And how do we know when what we're seeing is things as they are? What do we do when we find that our perception differs from another, from our neighbors? Surely one of us must be right, and the other must be wrong. Take, as an example, a storm. I suppose this is on my mind, as for many of us, Hurricane Florence is on our minds. This particular storm is a massive storm which has already taken lives and caused so much destruction. And yet, a storm can also bring life to an ecosystem. The winds can scatter seeds far and wide, and they can break off weak or dead branches from trees, allowing for healthier growth. The rains bring water, which fuels life in so many different ways. And the storm takes life. It is multivalent. It does different things, and it means different things. Even just looking at the metaphors and poetry of a rainstorm, there can be a huge variance. Over the summer, I was hiking with a group of Unitarian Universalists, and we ended up getting caught in a rainstorm outside that got fairly intense from my perspective. I personally reveled in it. I was feeling the power of nature, and again, the potential life in all of that rain. Later, someone else from the group shared that they felt that the rain mirrored their own sadness and grieving that day. Did one of us interpret the storm wrong? As with many answers, I think the answer is a both and. We both interpreted it correctly. Seeing things as both and, I think, gets us closer to the truth, closer to seeing things as they are, which, as I understand it, means seeing all aspects of them, the good and the bad. It could be easy to say that seeing things as they are just means measuring them ever so scientifically. Is the glass half full or half empty? Well, let's measure it and say that it's exactly 4/10 full of water and 6/10 full of air. That's accurate, right? That still isn't the wholeness, the completeness of the truth. For me, I feel more clear and able to navigate life when I can see how the glass is both half full and half empty at the same time. While this might feel like it requires us to hold a lot of different thoughts in our head at once, I actually think the practice is more about the opposite of that, about having less in our thoughts. Again, going back to the idea of spiritual practice, the goal is to see things as they are, but the practice is to quiet the mind, to reduce the interference from our own personal biases and points of view. There's a wonderful quote from a Chinese Zen Buddhist from the 9th century, Lin Ching Si. He says, "The mind is originally empty, and only when it remains empty, without grasping or rejecting, can it remain empty, without prejudice. It should be like a river gorge with a swan flying overhead. The river has no desire to retain the swan, yet the swan's passage is traced by its shadow without any omission." Another example, "A mirror will reflect all things perfectly, whether they are beautiful or ugly. It never refuses to show a thing, nor does it retain the thing after it is gone. The mind should be as open as this." For me, this is the essence of seeing things as they are. Seeing all things perfectly, including the beautiful and the ugly things. Seeing the suffering in the world, the selfishness and the pettiness in ourselves, as well as the beauty and the potential of humanity and the compassion and expansiveness in our own souls. Seeing everything that is really there and not holding on to what is no longer there. But again, how do we know that what we're seeing is the truth? We know our perception is flawed, so why should we ever assume that what we're seeing is the truth, capital T, things exactly as they are? Well, to be honest, I don't think that we should. I think we should always maintain a humility about the limits of our own personal perception and understand that those with different cultures, languages, or upbringings and so on, people may have very different views on things. But acknowledging this difference and this pluralism does not absolve us from the duty to try to reduce our own biases and to strive to see things as plainly as we can. Seeing things as they are as a spiritual practice means even being aware of our own perception. The way to minimize our biases isn't to try to force them away or shut them out or just focus better. That will likely either reinforce those biases or create new biases in the opposite direction. Rather, we need to be able to see our own biases as they are, observe our own perception, our own lens through which we view the world. For instance, I pride myself on being a fairly unbridled optimist. Now, first of all, this is an image that I have of myself, which doesn't necessarily reflect reality 100%. I have my moments of despair and pessimism. But in general, I find myself tending to be more optimistic than most others about things, whether it's a small personal issue or a large societal problem like global climate change. I do basically believe that humanity will get its act together and turn things around, or at least stabilize and adapt to the new environment before the point of no return. So I'm aware of this, and rather than just trying to temper this optimism with more pessimism, I try instead to just be aware of that optimism, be aware that this is a particular tendency of mine. I don't think that everyone who's more pessimistic than me is utterly foolish, and I recognize that each person has a different way of seeing things. My hope is that the more self-knowledge I have and the more that I can recognize my own biases and tendencies, the more I will be able to see things as they really are. The more I can see myself as I am, the more I can see others as they truly are, and the more I can see the world as it truly is. This is no easy task, and this is why we have spiritual practices to, well, practice this kind of right seeing. It doesn't necessarily come naturally or easily to us, to any of us, and our consumerist society that we swim in is constantly bombarding us to be distracted, to be more reactive, and to be less reflective. Contrary to that messaging, we as Unitarian Universalists are called to a search for truth in meaning, that is both free and responsible. And in order for it to be truly free and responsible, I feel that we must ground that search for truth in a vision which sees things as they truly are.